The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
You know, to be honest with you, you want to win them all, but it takes being in some situations. Coach Frost puts us in situations in practice. That's great. But it takes being in live bullets, and you like to come out on top of them, but sometimes you don't, and you learn.
Great to have you in. Weekend edition, the flex schedule time here at noon ahead of a night game with Northern Illinois. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, we're down here in the rail yard outside the Hale Varsity offices on the balcony next to the cube, the place to tailgate.
Yeah.
We love the rail yard.
And there's a few people already here.
Yep, man. Folks are getting ready, and you heard Coach Shenander say a situation. Well, Nebraska finds itself in a bounce-back situation. Yep. Nebraska was hungry in Boulder, couldn't finish. They were also humbled in Boulder. Do they come out hungry and humbled today? Mm-hmm. We are loaded up for the weekend edition at noon today here in the rail yard. Now, Northern Illinois brought their Husky. Mm-hmm. Carson Schmidt is down here tailgating. He brought his German.
Yeah.
Dirty Gertie, the German Shepherd, is part security and part philanthropist, because Junior is going to be selling koozies for the Lincoln Athletics to raise money for baseball.
Oh, there you go.
So you pet the puppy, you get a koozie for a price.
Right. So you pay for
something like pimping out our 9-month-old German Shepherd.
Yeah, why not? Why not? And by the way, German Shepherd versus Husky? I'm going to go with the German.
I'm going to go with the German.
Yeah. Although Huskies are not to be trifled with. They're basically wolves.
They are. They're good. Know. They're good pups, but maybe not in this instance today. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Can find us on Twitter today. Give us a follow, Chris Schmidt and @Schmidt_radio, @MarkSkurs for Mark Kranak, and the award-winning Colton Stone @2birds1stone. Can email Chris @HaleVarsity.com if you're bumping around, if you're rolling to the grocery store, if you're buying your spare ribs or baby back ribs or burgers or brats to come tailgate later, give us a shout. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So we'll get into Nebraska and moving forward, what this season can look like, and does tonight determine how much of a roller coaster 2019 could be. The Iron Horse returns. Gary Sharp joins us in about 15 minutes. We'll hear from Jeremiah Searles, our favorite NFL offensive lineman. Searles in the 1 o'clock hour. Brandon Vogel, I'm sure he has some short ribs on the smoker right now. Brandon Vogel at 1:30, time permitting, our favorite fullback, Joel Makavica. Kranak, you and I saw a lot in Boulder last week. It has been beaten up. We had the Real Red Reaction Show from Blur last Saturday.
Yep.
Gut-wrenching loss. The Real Red Reaction Show here from the rail yard right after the conclusion of Nebraska and Northern Illinois. So check that out. But this team has said all the right things, done all the right things, and put the work in this week by all accounts and all reports from both coordinators, the head coach.
Had a great practice last week, too.
And of course, the players have all echoed the same thing. And it kind of comes down to translation, doesn't it? Translating what you see and do Monday through Thursday to what you do on the field on Saturday. Are you buying or selling that tonight's ball game, tonight's performance will kind of be a telltale sign of how the rest of 19 can go?
No, I don't think it's necessarily that. Now, I think it will set the mood for the team or for the fan base, but I do not think it'll necessarily set the tone for the whole season, actually on the field. Mm-hmm. I don't see it like that, because
teams get better. They
can transform.
Each game is its own thing, yes.
They can transform, but they need this one. They absolutely need this one. And it's a quality opponent. I wouldn't call it an unbelievably quality opponent, but it's one that you have to be on the screws if you're going to beat them. Right? If you come out and you're lazy around these guys, they're going to beat you. They feasted on the Big Ten. Northern Illinois is something like 4-2 against the Big Ten, or 5-1. I don't have the exact number, but they beat.
They've done well.
They beat Big Ten teams. They did it here. They got an athletic director fired. They got a head coach fired, right? I mean, that was the nail in the coffin. I mean, that's the outfit that you're talking about. They don't get a lot of love either at home, Northern Illinois, so this is very much a chip-on-your-shoulder kind of program overall. They get 10 to 20,000 people at home. That's about it.
And they're winning 8-9 games and competing for the MAC.
Yeah.
A MAC that still has Frank Solich, a MAC that has had P.J. Fleck.
Yeah.
And they have gone toe-to-toe with those conference frontrunners year after year after year.
They're a competent
outfit. And they are in the MAC title game more times than not.
Yeah.
They are an 8-9-10-win football team more times than not.
Yep.
They have played in the Orange Bowl more recently than Nebraska.
Right. It's a competent outfit. Right, and against Utah last week, it was 21-17 at half. Utah got a touchdown in the third and fourth quarter and ended up winning. Opening week, they shut down Illinois State. It was 24-10. Quality team. It's a five. If they were in, put it this way, if they were in the Big Ten, they would be ahead of Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe like, ahead of Illinois.
Maybe, right? Like, they would be sort of that lower middle, mm-hmm. most likely. And by the way, what has Nebraska occupied the last couple years?
Lower middle.
Right. So it's
or just low.
It's a fairly like opponent. And you specifically on defense, this matchup worries me a little bit. Now, this is a layered conversation.
Okay.
But this one worries me a little bit because it is a movement front. So Northern Illinois' whole thing that they try to do on defense – pre-snap, few seconds leading into it, change alignment immediately. They're all about confusion, right? So they're feast or famine. They do that because if you move out of the right gap or whatever, confuse an offensive lineman, all of a sudden there's a gaping hole to go flying through and drill a quarterback or drill a running back, get some tackles for loss, get some big hits, get some strip sacks. It's a havoc-style defense. And that's coming against an offensive line that I don't think we can say is gelled by any means.
Nope.
You know, you got some guys that don't have a lot of starting experience. For as long as Bo Wilson's been here, he hasn't started a lot. You know, Cam Jurgens, he's about to play game number 3 at a position he never played. Trent Hickson hasn't played a whole lot. Right? You got Matt Farniok on the outside on the right side that's sort of out of position. You got Brendan Hymus that is a very competent, good, solid mm-hmm. left. He's the most dependable guy they have on the offensive line.
And the problems we saw in the second half were not coming against the left side of the line.
Yeah.
The problems we saw in the second half were Colorado doing some twists and stunts with their defensive line, some secondary delayed blitzes by their linebackers, and you didn't have communication. You did not have the communication or the execution of when guys are going misdirection, passing somebody off. Here's Greg Austin touching on the offensive line this week, and he was one ticked off guy. He wants his guys to be better. You know they're working to be better. But when it comes to blocking movement, that's what Nebraska's going to see tonight at 7 o'clock. Greg Austin's thoughts.
He asked earlier, movement. We got to block movement this week. Not only, loading up the box, but then also they're moving the gaps between the backers and the defensive line. We got to be able to block the moving targets as they come.
Yep, and so what does that require?
Communication.
Now, that will confuse a veteran offensive line.
It does.
Right? So let alone a rookie developing offensive line. It's going to confuse them. Nebraska's going to give up some big TFLs. Northern Illinois absolutely will break through and blow up plays. That is absolutely going to happen today. The flip side, which makes this one so interesting, is that Scott Frost's offense – if it's sort of like if you guess right,
you pop them
big time, because Northern Illinois is risking mm-hmm. giving up that big play by shifting gaps, by relying on your confusion. So I could see this being the type of game where Nebraska is stuffed 80 yards, right? Stuffed 75 yards. I don't think it's going to be a lot of sustained stuff. I think through the air is going to be really important. Martinez has not looked terribly comfortable in the pocket. Greg Austin even called that out this week. That's another thing to note. Did you notice?
You've got this triangle of conversation with Frost talking about running up the middle post-Colorado.
Thank you.
You have the average comments made by Walters. We're just an average football team running the football. We're just getting average quarterback play. We're getting average wide receiver play. Walters wasn't throwing anybody under the bus. He's saying, as a whole, I got to be better. And then you had Greg Austin. His comment is, man, we're getting five a crack up the middle. Dude, why don't we keep running up the middle?
Okay, I'm really glad you brought that up.
So you have Greg wants to be tough and physical and wants to keep working on that interior run game because I think he's seen the good of Mills and he knows guys can fire off the ball. You've got the offensive coordinator and quarterback, and I'm not trying to make this a Jersey Shore episode, but they don't trust it. You just don't have a lot of trust, be it how many wide receivers are playing or not playing or what the play calls are going to be. Your best option has been let's run Mo on the edge. And let's run
or swing it to him.
Yeah, or let's get Hymus on a pole, and let him lead block seven for Adrian up the middle.
But did you notice? I'm really glad you brought that up.
Well, it's been interesting.
It's the first time that I've seen this with this staff. Austin and Frost were saying two completely opposite things, and assessing things in complete opposite ways. Austin even going as far as saying, we got to call those inside plays. That is a direct blow at Frost, saying you have to call those plays. Hold on. And then Frost saying we weren't having a lot of success running between the tackles. Austin saying we were getting 5 yards a pop in between the tackles.
What do you believe? I think they were okay up the middle. They were good for three or four.
The numbers say that they were actually more productive inside than they were outside.
Yep.
They actually were. So I'm not putting too much into this because this staff is cohesive.
Sure.
They've proven that they are.
And they've talked about it this week. I guarantee it.
Probably.
That Austin and Frost threw a 7-pound chaw in and sat and discussed it.
Yeah, probably.
And they can speak their mind.
Well, and you have kind of a different view of the game directly after the game, before you've watched the film, as you're standing on the sidelines, as you're calling the plays, as you're taking in all this information. Frost's perception at that time was they weren't doing well up the middle. The numbers said otherwise. And Austin said otherwise. But it's something to know. It's nothing to hit the panic button about. But you remember back in the Riley days when all the coaches were saying all kinds of different things. No one was on the same page. Right, yeah. It was ridiculous. This is not that at all. But take note, right? If this keeps up, it's kind of like, what the hell is going on in the staff? I don't believe.
Everyone's frustrated. That's what's going on.
Probably. Everyone's frustrated, and Frost's comments about not being able to run up the middle were directly after the game. It's just worth noting.
And you're going to take that as an offensive line coach that they're not doing the job.
And he's like, Adrian's got to quit being so antsy.
Well, but
right,
dude, this is a domino game. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Adrian can't be so antsy, but get open.
Yeah.
Or don't he's been blindsided enough. I mean, he's had three or four fumbles.
Okay? Dude, Farniok's struggling a little bit.
Sure.
Right now.
So well, he lost his footing.
Yeah. The line is not good right now. But I don't believe
the line's
that they are
not comfortable.
Yeah. I don't want it. They're not so fundamentally flawed that they can't be good.
I think they're the Nebraska's, you know what, we a lot of times the last few years you've seen Nebraska get planted and then not recover and not get better. Mm-hmm. It's gone from bad to worse.
Yeah. Encouraging signs, though.
You see, I believe with this staff, you're going to see a team getting better.
There is no reason
forward.
There is no reason not to believe that. They get the benefit of the doubt in that department. Now, some good things we saw from Boulder, which after the game, I actually felt a lot better despite the crushing loss. And the majority of our calls were like, got out, coach, got out, you know.
And Nebraska didn't execute, and they got out coached.
The encouraging things, though, I have not seen a Nebraska defense hit like that. Now they did not do it for four quarters.
They flew around,
and when they hit people, they landed on top of them hard. Right? They were trying to those were forceful, violent tackles for that first half. As good of a performance there defensively as I've seen. I think you have to go back to peak Pelini days. To the last time you saw a defense that, to a man, was not just wrapping up and bringing down. They were hitting dudes. They were landing on top of them hard. They were trying to get the other team to submit. Right? Colorado did not submit. Nebraska was not able to sustain that level of tackling for the whole game. But you see, it's in there. It's in them. JoJo Doman hits dudes. Cam Taylor hits dudes.
Alex Davis is flying off the edge. The Davis twins have been tremendous on the line.
Colin Miller hits dude. I mean, you got some hitters on that team.
I know Honus got matched up with Chenault about three times that you're not comfortable with, but Honus came downhill and I thought hit well.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
He popped well.
There are that was really refreshing to see because it's been a long time since you've seen. I mean, there were some Colorado guys slow to get up. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it did not work the whole game. They did not maintain that level the whole game at all. But it's in them. You can see that it's in them. Was it altitude? Was it conditioning? I don't know.
It was having drives for a minute 42.
Could be.
And it was punting or scoring that quickly.
Could be.
And it was momentum.
Could be.
It was momentum, and it was also a pucker factor where there is some PTSD with this team.
Probably.
And it's going to take a long time to undo that. They're going to have to win one of these games. Their minds, I guarantee, immediately went back to Northwestern, some of them.
Could have. But look, if they can – if it will be a good sign if we see them hitting like that today and see if they can maintain that. If that becomes the defense where they're able to hit like that routinely, you're going to be a good team. Bad teams don't tackle like that.
Right.
Nebraska was tackling exceptionally well early in that game.
Weekend edition is on site, Hail Varsity Radio, out in front of the Hail Varsity offices. The balcony is where we're located for the Saturday morning, now the flex schedule weekend edition of Hail Varsity here in the rail yard. A quick timeout, and we'll run down the Iron Horse to get things moving on your tailgate Saturday. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, Hail Varsity Weekend Edition rolls forward, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
You know, none of us have started the martini round yet. We're off and running here, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, flex schedule. Down in the rail yard, Dirty Gertie right now is about to go sell some koozies for Junior's baseball team. You pet the German, you get a koozie, it'll cost you. We say hi to the Iron Horse.
Can we clarify real quick?
What?
It's a German Shepherd, not like some German dude.
No. Well, I mean,
you said pet the German. It's kind of like, that's just really weird. You know? Pet the Frenchie. Pet the foreigner.
Wow.
And you get a...
I think Gary Sharp just hung up on us. We welcome in the Iron Horse,
pet
Gary
the Nazi
Sharp.
And you get...
Wow. Sharpie, good morning. Save us. How are you? Or good afternoon.
That was good by Mark to add some context to that because, you know, after Colorado, I know things have been a little wild in this state. That would have been the we got over the top there.
Come down and pet the Swede. You know, like, what? Why am I petting this dude?
Yeah.
Wait till the Ohio State game when a Finn is in town.
Yeah, hey, I know.
Hey, quick scoreboard check, guys, brought to you by nobody. Ohio State up 29-3. They're drilling Indiana. But some interesting scores. Furman, 14-3 over VTech at half.
Hmm.
Right? What the hell is that? Eastern Michigan, late in the second, on top of Illinois, 23-17.
Sharpie, what's your feel tonight here with Nebraska? Are you going to broad brush tonight's performance for the rest of the year? That's been kind of a thought this week. Each game's it's its own entity, obviously, so I think Nebraska is going to keep getting better and improving. I think tonight will be a little tight, but eventually they'll prevail. But it is a true gut check game this evening for the Big Red.
Well, it's an important game from the standpoint of the first 2 weeks, things haven't gone your way that you wanted, especially offensively. I think instead of laying blame after that kind of a loss, guys talked about fixing things. So now it's time to show everybody that you fixed some things at least this week. I think there's a couple other things like the cohesiveness of the five on the offensive line working together that's still probably going to be a week or two away, which is scary because 2 weeks from now is Ohio State, as Mark mentioned, they're having a field day in Bloomington. But I think this is an important game for Nebraska. You know, this is the first time in his 14 games as a Power 5 head coach, and I think that's important, 14 games as a Power 5 head coach. that Scott Frost has had some arrows thrown towards him. Now, his skin is thicker than yours, and his expectations are higher than yours, and he coaches Nebraska. I've always said this as a former player, fan, and now the current head coach. So he takes all those emotions into everything, but he's not going to get let the emotions ride the roller coaster of his team. And they know they laid an egg in Boulder, and now what do they do to fix it? And it all starts. It begins the day. It's the middle of the day. It's the end of the day. Number two has to get back to playing like we know number two can play.
Man, good point, Gary, on Adrian. To put it simply, he just doesn't look comfortable, doesn't look like he's cutting it loose. I mean, is that something that's fixable, or is this one of those things where you're like, oh, no, mentally he's just, you know, he might be going down a bad path here, and just this is going to be a quarterback that presses.
Well, I think there's probably a little bit. He's very robotic. He looks disjointed. I think he's thinking too much instead of playing on instinct. And last year, some of his best games were when he freelanced a little bit, and he went on instinct over what was on the play sheet. And he thought about the right play and was able to make a move into the right play, even during the course of that play. And I think you saw that at times on Saturday out at Colorado. I also think he's thinking about other people's jobs, where people should be that aren't there, or he's seeing things on the defense that he's not hearing the offensive line's going to be able to pick up. So I think he's overthinking things. I think he's got a big thing with Adrian, and really a big thing in this program is everybody has faith, but the other thing is trust. And who does he trust right now that in a crucial situation to get the ball to? That's why I'm fascinated by the early game plan tonight. Is it a game plan to get number two going so the circus shows up early and he gets into a rhythm where he's got a couple of big runs, where he's got a couple of big passes? Or is it, let's get a lot of people involved so you go from Robinson to Washington to Spielman to Noah to the tight ends to on and on and on. I'm very curious to see how Nebraska opens up this game, because they're going to open up against the Northern Illinois team that is going to create some issues defensively, right in the middle. They're simple on the edge, but they haven't given up a point in the first quarter in their two games so far.
Gary Sharp's with us, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. We're down here in the rail yard on the balcony. Sunshine, a little breezy. It's beautiful. And if you're heading down to get the tailgate rolling, come by, wave at us, and pet the German Shepherd. Is that better?
Yes, which is a dog.
Gary, a...
not some German dude who herds sheep.
Named Hans, yes. Yeah. So we were just talking about it. I want your thoughts on the triangle of Frost, Walters, Austin when it comes to the same page or different page with the offensive line. Those comments this week by Coach Austin.
Well, I think you have to understand their relationship. Those guys have been around each other long enough that what they're saying publicly, they've said privately, and they all respect each other, that they're going to go to bat for their position group, and they're going to tell like it is. That's the one thing we love about the staff, offensive, defensive guys. They're all transparent. They'll tell you the truth. You ask a good question, you'll get a good answer. I think Greg Austin's challenging his offensive linemen. I think as I look at the offensive line, you know, Nebraska offensively actually was better in week two, but you don't get to talk much about that when it's on a loss. But if you look at, like, Cam Jurgens was better, captain's got to play better, whether they be one of your offensive linemen, whether it be your quarterback, whether it be a defensive lineman or a linebacker. But I think some of the comments that were made were kind of directed to their own players, but also say, hey, Scott, don't go away from pounding the ball inside. We always think about, you know, inside run is tackle to tackle. Well, it can narrow down a little bit more than that. So that's why the whole game plan, I think we all should keep an eye on early to see whose voice was the loudest. Either Troy Walters saying, man, we got to get people involved. That average offensive line's got to get better. What do they highlight early on? But I wouldn't read a ton into those comments. I would take it as this staff, they go to bat for each other. They're all fighting for their position group, but they understand at the end of the day what they want to do, and that is have success. And this offense has been too clunky. It's not going with the speed and the tempo where it's stacking chunk play after chunk play. I think that's kind of the frustrating thing at the first 2 weeks.
And the word is that Wandale Robinson might get more snaps at out of the true running back position today. Let's switch over to defense. Gary, I came away, it's a very weird feeling. I came away super encouraged after Boulder in one respect. and it didn't last for four quarters. We were just talking about this last segment. But the intensity and the style of tackling that Nebraska exhibited, especially in the first half, I don't think we've seen from a Nebraska team since peak Pelini years. Do you agree? I mean, those guys were hitting. They were landing on top of the ball carrier. They were violent. And that was happening over and over in that first half. Again, they didn't sustain it for the whole game. But did you come away encouraged from that, saying, hey, if these guys can put that together for a whole game, look out. That defense could actually do something.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Mark, about that first 30 minutes of Boulder last Saturday, the way they played defensively. But what – and I think there's certain guys – I think Colin Miller right now is one of the best players on Nebraska's roster.
And that's
so, yep. And you know, it's – you know, the defensive guys are going to fill that top five players so far through 2 weeks. What I was really concerned about in the second half is I thought that defense, whether they got tired or not, the altitude, blah, 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 they rode the emotion of the game. And I don't think they handled it very well. And once you saw the penalty that wasn't called on Colorado on the substitution where the sideline kind of lost their mind, I thought that really set Nebraska back because all of a sudden there were communication issues. There wasn't a sense of urgency to get lined up and things fell apart. And then those guys, Mark, that were making violent tackles in the first half, they were not sticking their head in to make tackles. So that's the other part of this whole close losses and you learn how to win or why teams win is riding the emotion of the other team during the course of a game and instead riding your own emotion knowing that you have to play 60 minutes of football and how do you handle the flow of a game. I think that's where it's still a work in progress for guys in headsets and helmets is how do they attack the flow of the game, whether they're in the lead, whether they're tied, or whether they're behind.
Gary Sharp's with us, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, we saw a defense play well enough to win. Even when they were gassed, they made some stops, three-pointers instead of touchdowns, overtime, and then a key moment where it's 24-21 and the Buffs get stopped, and held to three. When it comes to the offensive approach, and is there a time or is there a moment where it's look in the mirror time for Nebraska when it comes to play calling and protecting the defense? Maybe they're not there depth-wise yet. That's part of the thought process. Okay, D's going to be there. They've got our back, but they can't carry us. If the offense is sputtering, we better be, well, complimentary on offense, but we better change maybe what we're doing. Is there a part of that that maybe gets examined because of Boulder?
You know, this, all three of us are radio quarterbacks and radio coaches. We would love to, all right, slow it down, get three here, get four here, get five here, third quarter, that means 13, 14, 15. I think right. When Scott is really good at his play calling, it's right out of the gate, 12 here, 6 here, 15 here, 11 here. I think that's when he gets into a flow. I don't know if Nebraska can or wants to slow it down where they can have a 12-yard or 12-play, 78-yard, 4-minute, 5-second drive. I don't know if that's in them and if that's a want, even though we would want the 4-minute offense. I think that's something we'll just always talk about, but I don't think that's what they really want this offense to be. They want this offense to be high-scoring, put points on the board, and the defense knows what they're getting into. And then, you know what, I do believe this. If listening to Scott and knowing Scott like I do, I think Scott believes that this offense is close, that he saw enough in Colorado that he's seeing a little bit more, that they need more consistency, more efficiency. I think he feels in his heart that they're closer than a lot of people realize about the offense, but there is no doubt he's put a couple of guys on the clock tonight. This is a big night for Dedrick Mills because Dedrick Mills has had trouble recognizing what the defense is doing and the way they're lining up and where those holes are. Northern Illinois is going to try and create a car crash right in the middle of the line of scrimmage. Those holes aren't going to be there. They slant. They do some different things. That'll challenge him. I think there's some offensive linemen that have to play consistently better tonight, or you might see some more guys in the game. Nebraska hasn't had an opportunity to play a lot of people to get a lot of looks. You need a lot of reps with the ones. Man, if the ones aren't going, you know, the second season begins next Saturday. So I think Scott looks at this game with a very close eye to see if this number one offense can move forward. But I do believe that he thinks that they are close to being the kind of offense that he saw in fall camp. But he will also add this. It's the offense that he saw that was not up to game speed and being game tired. Because, remember, Cam Jurgens now is about 3 weeks into being full-time practice and games as a starting center.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you expect a learning curve, obviously. But the offensive line, Gary, right now, it's just not good. You couldn't call them bad, and I don't think they're destined and doomed to be bad. I think they have potential. There's been a lot made about Farniok in particular at right tackle being sort of out of position. That's got to be a weird dynamic that they're dealing with there on the offensive line, though, because you're talking about a captain that has committed more penalties than anybody on the offensive line and has probably given up more TFLs and sacks than anybody else. What kind of dynamic do you think that creates in the locker room?
Well, there's sometimes where the read out of the quarterback or the running back is bad that makes the offensive line look bad. There's also the give and take, the offensive line miscommunication, and they let some guy go to get to the second level when they shouldn't have or they don't get help from the tight end. I agree with you about the offensive line. Farniak's got to be better. We've all talked about could he play guard. That's why if he's in a situation where maybe Bryce Bennett can come in and play and get some reps, tough to play that position as a true freshman that doesn't show up on campus until the middle of the summer. Maybe you experiment. But I think one thing to watch where this offensive line really needs reps and they need to take that next jump is Hickson and Jurgens' communication. Because if you ISO on those two, it seems like they're not on the same page every play, and you have some breakdown there, and then you have a breakdown somewhere else because somebody else is trying to make up on that offensive line for a deficiency. It's been rough, there's no doubt, for the first 2 weeks. But a whole week of reps, we'll see what happens here tonight. But we'll also see if Nebraska schemes a lot more winning plays that they can help that offensive line instead of putting it on the back of the offensive line.
Yeah. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, we'll let you go. Appreciate your insight and your thoughts. And do you have a lock of the weekend, my friend?
Until the weather, I was going Central Florida over Stanford. But I will say this. I know we're on a little bit later. I did have Temple as a 7.5-point underdog beating Maryland today.
Ooh. There we go.
7-2 right now, heading into the half.
Can't strand those runners on third with less than one out. No. Sharpie, be good. Take care. We'll see you soon. See ya. This is Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio. We're here in the Rail Yard. Weekend edition is noon to 2 today. And a reminder about your friends at Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang. Listen, they know that you'll come see them for that bling that she needs. Maybe it's a necklace. Maybe it's a pendant. Maybe it's an engagement ring. But when you spend $2,500, you get a free Traeger grill.
Nice.
Kranak
sounds good. Some smoked
So
meat.
Head to your tailgate the right way with that free Traeger and get her the jewelry she dreams of and get instantly rewarded with your friends at Sauter Heyman. So, can see Rick and the gang, 12th and 0 downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Audible. You want to hear from a Joel Makovicka?
We can, sure. Why not?
We can hear from a Makovicka coming up. His thoughts on the line.
Yeah.
On movement, on Mills, in the running game.
Yeah,
Jeremiah Searles is coming up.
Yep.
And we'll hear from Brandon Vogel. Yep. Tailgate rolls forward. Weekend edition, Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's time to give the ball to the fullback here and get across the goal line. We say hi to Joel Makovicka. Joel, what is good? How are you?
Not too bad, man. It's always good to be with you. It's a bright, sunny day and Friday in Nebraska, and we have another game tomorrow to maybe get the little bad taste out of our mouth and get a win. So that's what Nebraska needs right now, is we need a win.
Not that I think you know, but I'm sure you've heard about the time you roll up to a bar when you're 21 and people are buying you shots for your birthday, and there's
Well, there's a ton of shots that just taste horrible. what shot was Colorado?
there was their shot called the bar mat, where everything on the bar floor gets put into a shot glass,
right.
Then you drink it. I think that might be this Colorado game, is the bar mat shot.
How does Joel Mankiewicz watch a fourth quarter like that? You've seen two of them. You saw Northwestern, you saw Colorado.
Mm-hmm. You know, this game, it was a gut punch. It really was. Losing to Colorado, losing at any point, and the way we were in charge of that game and had that game under control, losing to any team is bad. But losing to a team like Colorado that, you know, put an emphasis on the rivalry so much and getting back to the Big 8 and the Big 12 days, it is a gut punch. But, you know, Nebraska did some good things, but a lot of people thought we had that game in better control than I ever felt throughout the whole game. You talk about, yes, we, as a defense, I thought they played well, but they still need to get off blocks and make tackles, and we can't have blown coverages. But you talk about even being in control. The first drive of the game, Colorado should have been stopped and been punting at the 4-yard line, or they were then backed up at the 4-yard line and given our Nebraska offense a short field. But we had a penalty, and they drove the ball for 7 minutes. So our offense didn't get the ball till seven or eight minutes. So our offense didn't get the ball to about 7 minutes in the first quarter. So things like that add up, and it's not like we were just in such dominant control of that game that I couldn't see this coming if we fell flat on offense.
Joel Mankiewicz is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Joel, when you look at Nebraska's offense, what do you like and what do you think is still a work in progress? And I'm asking specifically here, from your eyes, about the running game and then the offensive line.
You know, there's some things you can like about the offense, and I think there's some things that need to be corrected and need to be corrected in a hurry. I think, you know, we still have a talented quarterback, but there's things that he needs to do better as far as taking care of the football and you know, staying comfortable in the pocket, even when there's guys playing on an edge that really aren't in his face, but he's getting a little antsy, and when he gets off his spot, you know, he doesn't go through his progressions. But first and foremost, if we don't get our offensive line playing better, we're going to have a long season. And what I mean by that is if you watch the game on Saturday, we're not changing the line of scrimmage at all. And I'm not talking about pushing defensive linemen 4 and 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about changing the line of scrimmage a yard and a half, 2 yards, and driving your feet and moving players instead of position blocking. And we need to get that corrected, because it is tough for Scott to call plays when you can't change the line of scrimmage, and then it is difficult for a quarterback to stay in there and stay on his spot and go through his progressions when he feels like there's some pressure when there isn't. And if you watched a lot of it on Saturday, Colorado was doing a lot of simple TE tackle and stunts with their defensive line, and our offensive line would come off so slowly to pick those up that they would play on edge and disrupt Martinez. So we have to do a better job offensively, because this is a big boy conference. There's no two ways about it. This is a big boy conference, and you have to play well on the offense and defensive lines. And offensive line needs to play better, and they need to get better.
Joel Mankiewicz, a few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Joel, with the running game, I mean, Mo got to the edge, had the big run. But, you know, you hear Coach Austin saying, let's run it between the tackles. You hear Walters and Frost saying it's been tough sledding up the middle, aside from Adrian and the quarterback power keep, you know, up the middle. You haven't seen any zone read, really. And
But this is why their best offensive running play has been and it hasn't really been. It has been the quarterback power a little bit,
yeah.
But their most successful offensive run play has been more quarterback draw with a little delay.
Yep.
And the reason that is because then the defensive line is up the field and the offensive line is just position blocking, and Adrian has some creases. But when it is just downhill running, they have not changed the line of scrimmage. So Coach Oskin can talk all he wants, but they have to get better about changing the line of scrimmage, or you can't run downhill, because it's like running downhill against a brick wall. If you're not changing the line of scrimmage and not moving bodies even a yard off the line of scrimmage, all of a sudden it turns into you're bouncing all these plays to the outside anyway. And so that's where I think the play calling comes into it, where they get concerned that they can't run downhill, so then they are running laterally, and they just want creases, and it's more position blocking, and then they can get creases or outflank the defense and get Mo on the edge. But I agree. I would like more downhill running. The problem is what I saw on Saturday is they're not getting any movement. So if you can't do that, it is tough sledding all day to be a downhill running football team.
Joel, when we talk about vision and finding creases, there are creases there, and you've got Mo in contact, and he doesn't avoid it, but he's not a guy that probably loves it. That's just my, very elementary two cents, not ever carrying the football. But then there's Mills,
you
right?
You were an unbelievable tailback in high school, weren't you,
Eddie? Hell no. I had the old inhaler around my neck. Most guys wore chains. I had a chain with an inhaler.
You were the water boy. We get it.
I was a kid in the stands trying to sneak a smoke. Don't smoke, kids. But listen, you've got Mills, and you've got his JUCO background where it was downhill. You have his option background where he's a fullback in an option attack, so it's short burst and then just squirt through there. Tell me and take me through the division discussion here with what Nebraska's O-line can do and what Mills maybe isn't doing from a vision or a cutback standpoint. I'm talking about Mills being a lot like you as far as you just kind of roll people over, but you didn't avoid contact, but you were able to make a move and get extra yards if you could.
Well, and this is what we talked about earlier is they're two different backs. Mo Washington and Dietrich Mills are two polar opposite backs to where, yes, Mo Washington, that's how he's built. He's a electric, fast guy that he's not a physical runner. He wants to avoid contact. He's not going to be a physical runner. And Dietrich Mills is that type of runner, is that more of the so-called power back that is a physical runner, and he runs hard. But it's what we talked about earlier. He is a downhill running back. And when it all starts with the offensive line, if they're not getting any pushes, there are less lanes to run through. And so when you're running back and you're running downhill, if it's all just a massive humanity where there's no movement and no creases, it just looks like a wall. And so you take away a lot of your running lane, so the vision is muddled a little bit, and then it almost turns into, that's why Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers got his running style, is he's a downhill runner, but a very patient to where he understands that, yeah, if there's not much movement on the offensive line, they will keep working, and a lane will flash that then he can burst through. We always had a saying with Coach Solich, it's smooth to the hole, speed through the hole. So it's never running downhill as fast as you can, hoping the lane opens up. It is, you're smooth to the hole, and once that lane opens up, no matter if it's a position block or the offensive line is doing a great job driving people off the line of the scrimmage, it's smooth to the hole, and then when you see the hole, it's a burst and speed through the hole. And so I think that's where they need to get to. But again, it starts with the offensive line, and I think Dietrich Mills, as the year progresses, it's just like anything. He was at Georgia Tech, and then I think 2 years in junior college, or if it was a year, you can correct me, things will start slowing down for him, because now you're in big boy conference to where things are fast. It's just like going from high school again to college, where I think things will start to slow down and he will see some of those lanes develop and open up as long as the offensive line improves.
Where, do you have a panic level, or are you like, okay, Colorado sucked, fine, awful loss, but still lots of season left? Where are you at as a, I mean, I know you're a supporter, but just as a as an outlook,
absolutely,
as an outlook,
you know,
guy on the season?
I'm concerned. I guess that would be my panic level, is concern. You know, I going into this year, I thought our schedule set up well, and I was cautiously optimistic about what we would be, but I just wanted to see improvement in us building. And I was the first one to say, 2 years away from where we need to be in the trenches, and most specifically offensive line. I still believe that. So I still think we're on track to where we need to go. The disappointing part to me is we haven't found a number one X receiver that can take the top off the defense. And so that is one of my biggest concerns, because we have recruited quite a few receivers that we've kind of missed on. We have two dynamic slot guys, but you need a true number one X that can take the top off the defense to open up some of the underneath. It's concerning because, listen, Wisconsin shows that they're a team that's going to be a team to reckon with, and you still have Iowa that's good on both sides of the ball as far as offensive defensive lines, and you got an improved Minnesota and Northwestern team. So it's concerning. But what Nebraska needs to do is they need to have this game as a get-right game. And I get we got beat by Northern Illinois in 2017, but that should never happen. There was two pick sixes in that football game. And so if we take care of the football, this is a get-right game at Memorial Stadium, where we just need to get where we're winning a couple games in a row and get our confidence built up. But it always seems like we win a game, we lose a game. We win two games, we lose a game. We can never get that role and that confidence that these kids need, because it's all about confidence. I mean, we're 2-14, I think, in our last 16 road games, and that creeps into the psyche of 17, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids when things start going wrong, that it's, oh, here we go again. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm still optimistic about where we can go with this football team as long as we keep improving. Now, I don't think the record is going to be where a lot of these guys wanted it to be as far as the outside perception, but I think as far as the coaching staff and the people in that building, they want to just continue to build. So if it's 7-5, 8-4, as long as they're building to something to where they're looking at year 3-4 to where they can compete for championships, I think they'll be happy.
Joel Makovicka, Husker Hall of Famer, Hail Varsity Radio. Joel, last thought here. When it comes to criticism, that's not something that's been out there towards towards Coach Frost. But there was criticism about his play calling and the way the team didn't finish. How do you think is that something that he's even paying attention to?
You know what? Everybody's human beings, so I think if you're on social media or you see the papers, you always get wind of some of those things. But I think Coach Frost is more focused on what they need to do to get better. And I think when he took this job, he understood. He was a player here. He understood how fanatical Nebraska fans can be. And I say that in a good way.
Sure.
Because that's why we had, and I don't know, you can correct me because you were there, that's why we had what looked like 45,000 people in Boulder, Colorado, and made that stadium almost a home game and made it red, is because Nebraska fans are the best in the country. So when you have that, you do have some people that will be overly critical when things aren't going right. It's a very fine line right now because we haven't been as good as what people have wanted for the last 15 years. So when things, fans are the same way as players, is when things start going wrong, there's this psyche that says, here we go again. And now we have an outlet where we can vent on social media and you hear a lot more things. But that's why Nebraska football is great and we strive to be great, is because we have the best fans in the country. So he knew that coming in. So I think he understands it, and he's going to put his head down and try and get this team back to where it needs to get by going back to the drawing board and looking at the film and saying, these are the things we need to correct. Because –
you know, you correct two things on defense where they had two blown coverages, and the defense plays pretty well, and we win that game. They got back into the game on two blown coverages, and that's what happens, and those things are correctable. There's some other things that will take a year or two, but I think he puts his head down and goes back to work, and he lets the outside noise be the outside noise, and he understands. You saw it in the paper today. He understands that he's talking to the fans when he says, hey, the Memorial Stadium under the lights is the best anywhere in the country. And so he's trying to get the fans juiced to come out and be our Nebraska fans. And they will, but there will always be criticism no matter what you do.
Joel Makovicka. Joel, we'll get caught up again, man. Awesome stuff. Thanks for a few.
All right, my man. Good to be with you.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Into Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. High above the rail yard outside of the Hail Varsity offices. Real Red Reaction coming up tonight. The 96 Kicks party gets rocking here in a little bit. Sunshine, it's beautiful. There's a breeze. It's football and a chance for Nebraska to get right. Coach Brett is showing me off his keg. It's a chance for you to find the
nice
German.
Little happy trail there. That's
right.
Good.
It's a chance to find the German Shepherd. Carson's been walking around for good luck. Pet Dirty Gertie for
Nebraska
win. How
much are the koozies costing?
I don't know. What are the koozie prices?
I don't know.
Whatever we want? Okay.
So it's kind of like donations.
Nothing like pimping out my 9-month-old German Shepherd. We welcome in our favorite NFLer, standout Husker. And you catch him with us on Hail Varsity. You catch him Mondays at 6 with his own reaction, just my opinion. We say hi to Jeremiah Searles. Follow him on Twitter at Searles71_HSKR. Searles, how are you, sir?
I'm nursing my wounds from last night. Can't keep up like I used to, but I'm doing pretty good, guys. I'm hanging in there.
What happened last night?
It was the first date night that wife and I have had since the kiddo. We went to a concert here in Minnesota, and I thought I could have a couple drinks and be all right, feel fine, and that is not the case anymore.
Beef jerky, Gatorade. Maybe.
I'm getting old, dude. I need a Pedialyte and an IV drip.
Well, you do. The good news is you probably have Pedialyte around.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
A little similar.
That's a little college football can't fix either.
I know. You're able to look at the offensive line differently than me and Kranak are. What have you seen from those group that group of guys? What do you think Northern Illinois is going to show, my friend? Kind of lay it out for us tonight.
Yeah, I think that what we're going to see from that group is I think that Coach Austin, I read some of the quotes he had, is he's going to have those dudes fired up. I think he's tired of hearing about it. As an O-line coach, I know that when an offense is struggling, the first person that gets the blame is the offensive line. So I think he's tired of hearing it. I think he's ready to really to like let these guys know that they are big, they are strong, they are physical. Go out and be those guys. So I think we're going to see them come out and want to establish a run early in the game. I think coach is going to be like, look, O-line, you've been called out by pretty much everyone, including myself. And we want to just go out there and dominate and let them do it. And I'm excited to watch these guys play up front tonight because I think they're going to have a big night.
Jeremiah Searles is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Now, the talk about Northern Illinois and what makes them difficult is it is a movement front.
Mm-hmm.
So they're moving guys all around. What kind of challenge does that pose for an offensive lineman? And does that mean it's sort of a feast or famine kind of a night?
It will be. I think that when you play a movement front like this, when you play a movement defense, it's going to be home run hitters and there's going to be some negative plays. It's just nature of the beast. You're going to get got sometimes, and sometimes you're going to get them. So the big thing is you've got to make sure that you're just all kind of moving gap sound. I know you always hear gap sound on defense, but when you're running an offensive run game against a movement defense, you got to make sure that everyone's moving in the same direction. That your buddy, you're covering for your buddy, and if one guy crosses your face, you're like, okay, I know my buddy's there to pick him up. I just got to climb to the next guy so that you're not both hanging on a guy and then someone's running free. And it's a lot. You're going to see a lot of zone scheme out of Scott today, I bet. You're going to see a lot of just like, okay, everyone's zoned to the right, everyone's zoned to the left. Because if you can catch teams that are movement teams, if you can catch them and not let them get to where they need to be, there's some really, I mean, heavy-hitting runs that are going to be there for us. But at the same time, it just takes one guy to miss on a slant or a stunt, and there's going to be some negative play. So I think it's going to be important that the run game today is going to be very much chip away, chip away, chip away. Then the big ones are going to come more the second half, in my opinion. I think we're going to see the first half, we might struggle a bit, trying to just kind of get a feel for what they're doing. But the heavy hitters will come in the second half as we just keep wearing them down, wearing them down, wearing them down. Because when you're moving like that, it does get tiring.
Jeremiah Searle's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Between inside zone and outside zone, how would you assess how Nebraska has done so far?
See, I think Greg Austin kind of mentioned it. A lot of our runs haven't been called for in between the tackles, but it seems like whenever they do, they read. So I think that, like, the inside zone portion of it, like the true call and run it inside zone, I don't know how much we've actually got to see of that. And our outside zone, I don't necessarily know if we have a true outside zone. We're more speed sweep. Our outside zone is how fast can we get to the edge versus, in my opinion, outside zone is when you're running at the butt of the tight end. That for me is true outside zone. I just don't think Nebraska runs a lot of true outside zone. Their version is the jet sweeps, the fly sweeps. Like, that's how they get to the edge. I want to see more of Adrian Martinez inside zone. I want to see more of how do we get him with the ball in his hands and hold on to the football, Adrian, but how do we see him go in between the tackles and run physical like he can? And I think that's where we're going to get a lot of our inside zone is Maurice can be on the outside, but inside the tackles, it's going to have to be two carrying the ball.
Jeremiah Searle's joining us here, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio. We're down in the rail yard getting ready for Nebraska, Northern Illinois. Searle's, what have you seen from the offensive line, specifically the right side, or maybe it's all sides, when it comes to blocking movement? I know Coach Austin talked about that. Can you take us into your world about just what a pain in the ass it is with the communication aspect
pain.
And also having a plan, but that plan not working because of communication, because of the confusion a defense is creating?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete pain in the tail because it really kind of takes your stinger away sometimes as an offensive lineman. I mean, all you want to do, especially when you're big guys like Farniak and Bo and Juergens and Hymus and those guys, Hickson, I mean, you want to put weight forward and you want to put the ball, like, all your weight on the balls of your feet, and, like, you want to fire off and hit guys in the mouth. But when you're playing a movement defense, it's this fine balance of you're still coming off the ball and you're dictating the tempo, but you have to be under such control so that you don't throw no hitters. I mean, it's really, I wouldn't be surprised if we see one or two guys a couple times tonight flat on their face as an offensive lineman because you're geared up, ready to go, and you want to come off and hit this guy. All of a sudden, boop, he's not there, and I've done it plenty of times. And you land on your face and you're picking turf beads out of your eyes. But the hard part is, like, you can't lose that aggressive mentality. You can't lose that stinger because when you start becoming passive and like, oh gosh, are they moving? Are they not moving? Are they coming? Are they going? You let them dictate the tempo. And when you get on your heels as an offensive lineman in the run game, you get no movement. And we know how that goes. No movement equals bad news. So I think it's really important that we still find a way to take the fight to them. And you hit movement with, you take over movement with speed. You be faster than them. Beat them to the spot. If they want to move to the A-gap, you meet them in the A-gap and you beat them to it. They want to slant all the way across the center, you guard, you beat them to that so that they aren't having their feet set. So I think we need to see a fast offensive line. We need to see them moving with purpose, moving with speed, and we need to see them because that's how they're going to hit movement in the mouth. And then on this, I think the other part that we need to talk about is the pass protection aspect. Pass protection can create some big confusion, too, in the, when they're moving around. Who has who has what? Am I passing him to my buddy? Am I passing him to the ghost of Casper over there, which is never a good thing? And, like, is a running back there? So I think that we got to make sure that on the run game, yes, we got to be at it, but the pass game, too, got to make sure everyone's real dialed in so that Adrian can get comfortable back there early.
So being fast on the offensive line is important, especially today. You immediately then think of Cam Juergens. He's among the faster offensive line. Not saying he's among the best offensive linemen in the country, but among the faster ones for sure. Do you think this is potentially a good and breakout game and something that suits his strengths?
I think it does because he's strong and he's quick. And that's how you beat movement. Like, if you can anticipate movement, if you can catch a defensive lineman moving laterally instead of forward, they're not on balance. If you're moving forward on a guy that's coming laterally, you have some chance for some big hits and big cleanups and big pancakes. And so I think that this will be a good game for Juergens. I think he's going to need to settle early, because you can overthink as a center with movement, trying to anticipate it, chasing ghosts a little bit. And like, is he not? And I've done it as a center where you're trying to do too much pre-snap. So I think he needs to let the movement come to him, because he is fast enough to react to it, that if he does get beat to the spot, he can react to it. There's guys that aren't fast enough that are like, constantly have to be. I know that I very much was not the most athletic person in the world, so I would do my study pregame and during the week and be like, okay, I know tendencies of when they're going to snap, so I can beat them there. When I knew guys that were just like, oh, I'm just more athletic than you, so I'll just get there. And Juergens is one of those guys that's extremely athletic, so he's going to be able to just get there, which is lucky for him.
You know, coaches have not been shy about heaping praise on him and his potential. Through two games, what do you see out of Cam in particular?
I see a young player who is going to be very good, but I think because he got so much praise and he got so much hype from a lot of the guys, that people expected more out of him than he's giving right now, and that's because he's a young player. I mean, offensive line is a hard position to play. He has only played it for like a year. I mean, I'll never forget Dwight Freeney when I was in San Diego. He was talking to me. He goes, I really don't think an offensive lineman becomes a good offensive lineman until year four in the NFL. I was just like,
jeez.
Whoa. He's like, I don't care what you did in college. I don't care where you came from, first round, second round, undrafted. You don't figure out how to play offensive line until year four in the NFL. It's a skill set. It's very much, I tell people, it's very much like golf. Like, you have to be so precise in your movements. You have to be so precise in your steps. You have to be, it's so technique driven. It's the most technique driven position on the football field. And so if you don't doing it over and over again, and you have to just do the repetition to where you're not thinking about it, it becomes natural. But it takes a long time for that to become natural. And I see it. He has incredible potential. But right now he has to just keep working on the technique and the fundamental aspect to it. And when he can merge the two, his athleticism and his techniques and fundamentals, he's going to be a very good football player.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're here in the Rail Yard Weekend Edition, a special time, noon to 2. We're down here in the Rail Yard outside the Hail Varsity offices. Real Red Reaction follows Nebraska, Northern Illinois on ESPN Lincoln. Don't forget Jeremiah Searles, Just My Opinion. His show, his podcast on the Twitch channel at 6 o'clock on Monday. Searles, you've been a part of a lot of big wins. You've had some tough ball games as well, not you personally, but as a member of Nebraska. What's the team going through right now mentally? Is there any PTSD that they experienced at Colorado because of a Northwestern? Is that real, or is that just us as in media chatting about past experiences, past games that look the same?
So I think it's a little bit more the media, because it's something for us to grab onto. And I say us because I am now part of someone I never thought I'd be part of, which is the larger media. But it's something for us to grab onto and point at and be like, wow, like, look at this. And I was actually talking about it on my show last week, that as a player, I take these losses harder as a fan now than I do as a player. And the reason the more I've thought about it, is because as a player, you can look at something and be like, oh, that's what it is. I can fix that and we can do it next week. To where as a fan, as a just bystander, a media guy, all we can do is talk about why it happened and what's going to happen again. So I think that that's why, as a player, I think that these guys are fine listening to their messages that they had at the press conference, reading some of the quotes this week, that they're on to the next game. And that I really do believe that is the mentality of this football team, that they are like, okay, we have to learn, we have to move on. But there is still that little bit of doubt that maybe like, oh man, here we go again. And I think that that needs to get nipped in the butt by Coach Frost and by the senior leaders. And I think they're doing a nice job of that. I don't think they're worried. I think they're going to come out today. And like I said on my tweet, I want to see the first half Nebraska Cornhuskers we saw last week. Because that team that marched out there for 30 minutes on CU and Folsom last week can beat anyone on this schedule. But vice versa, we march out that offense does in the second half, we can get beat by anyone too. Then the Northern Illinois football team that is going to come in here ready to play.
Jeremiah, we don't want to pigeonhole you into just assessing offensive line. What about the defense last week? I think that was Now, they didn't sustain it the whole game, but at least in the first half, I thought that was the most violent, aggressive, hard-hitting Nebraska defense that I've seen since really peak Pelini years. Would you agree with that? Did you see a different level of tackling from that team? Again, not the whole game, but first half last week?
I did. I saw the attack is what I love out of this defense. They are taking the fight to the offense. And sometimes we got ourselves in trouble with that with our tackling and some missed tackles, but I think that the defense, that offense felt that. They were worried. That whole first half, I mean, they were on their heels. And you could see it because this defense is incredibly attack-oriented, and they're a movement defense too. If you look at their front is constantly moving. There are guys slanting, there's guys moving, guys coming from all over the place. We're a blitzing attack defense, and I love to see it because it does throw the other guys off. The thing is that when we blitz, when we attack, we have to be very good in the back end. Because when we're sending a pressure, we're leaving some guys out there saying that this pressure's got to get home, or else our back end's going to suffer because they're going to be one-on-one coverages for 4 seconds, 3.5 seconds, which just can't happen. But I love a defense. Our linebacking core is probably one of the better cores since Levante days. I think that this linebacker core with JoJo Doman and Barry, I mean, these dudes can flat out fly, and they can move, and I'm excited because they're the backbone with a good front five. I mean, you throw the Davis brothers up there, you throw the Daniels brothers up there, Ben Stilley. Like, those guys are eating blocks, which is allowing these linebackers to run and make these hits and go side to side. So they're complementing each other very well. I think this whole defense complements themselves well, but that all starts with the intact mentality of, I don't care what you're doing, we're coming after you.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Searles71_HSKR. Searles, give folks a shout as to what is happening with you Monday. I know you'll jump on with me Monday as we react to Saturday, but you got a thing rocking and rolling at 6 on Monday night.
Yep, so I started a podcast, a live interactive podcast called Just My Opinion. It's on Twitch, which is essentially a live platform for video games, but I'm using it for podcasting. So it's really easy. You can download the app. That's the easiest way to do it. It's a free account. You can create a free account. You search JSearles71, follow the channel, and live 6 to 7, we have a breakdown. This week we have Luke Gifford jumping on with me, the newest member of the Cowboys, so we're going to catch up with him, see how he's doing, and he's going to help me kind of pick apart this game from the defensive side, because again, I can pick apart a game offensively pretty well and what I see defensively, but he's going to be able to flip it, so I'm excited to have him on. But just my opinion, episode 3 Monday nights, 6 to 7 p.m. We're super excited about it.
Awesome. Searles, you're awesome. Get that IV going. All right.
Well, that's the plan.
Take care, brother. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys. Go Big Red.
Thanks, Jeremiah.
There he is.
He's so good with, talking about offensive line play is a difficult thing to do. To translate it, translate it into a thing that the average human being can understand
is
hard.
He talked about the waves, right? The three different waves versus one big wave last week when we were in Boulder.
He's really good.
He's awesome.
No, he's really good at explaining it on a level that idiots like ourselves can understand.
Well,
like,
you're empty.
How about Dwight Freeney saying it takes until your fourth year in the NFL to become a good offensive lineman, which tells you, by the way, the talent of Freeney, where he's like, if the dude has only been in the league 1, 2, or 3 years, I'm dominating him. I'm dominating. Year 4? Okay. Now I got my work cut out for me.
Quick timeout. We'll run down Brandon Vogel. I'm sure he's got something on the smoker that we all want. If you see a little boy in an athletics shirt with a German Shepherd wandering around your tailgate or down in the rail yard, that's Junior with Dirty Gertie. And you are able to buy and contribute to youth baseball. I'm not a cheapskate father. We have donated. We have contributed. But a little fundraiser going on with Carson Schmidt and Dirty Gertie, the German
Shepherd.
You're
kind of looking for handouts.
No, Carson and Gertie are.
Oh.
I'm good.
Gertie is a dog, by the way.
Dirty Gertie's not.
I just have to keep reminding people.
Dirty Gertie, the German Shepherd.
I think your son's walking around with some,
like Wendy from
just some less
Breaking
than
Bad,
some less than desirable.
Yeah,
that's not the case. You would not let your son do that.
Maybe. Quick timeout. Brandon Vogel's next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Working through a weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're down here in the rail yard. It is sunny. It is breezy. It is beautiful. More red congregating here in front of Nebraska Volleyball. Loyola Marymount, no Bo Kimball this time, but Nebraska Volleyball up 17-16. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranack. Big thanks to Jeremiah Searles, Joel Makovica.
Hey, quick check of scores.
Gary Sharp.
Quick check of scores, by the way. It's a pretty wild day in college football already. You got Temple up on Maryland 13-9. You got Pitt and Penn State knotted at 10 in the third.
Ohio State is just drilling Indiana.
I know. That sucks, man, because I took Indiana with the points there. Virginia Tech up on Furman 17-14.
They're not the fighting Mark Furmans, are they?
It's really close. No. And Eastern Michigan on top of Illinois in Champaign 23-17. Colorado trails Air Force at the half 20-10.
The pretty world's day, cheering man. For Air Force today.
Well,
and every day.
No, look. Well, of course, like in war, yes. But I want Colorado to win today, for obvious reasons. You want right. that?
You
loss.
Feel better about your misspent weekend,
right?
We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine. We love chatting with him. Super smart man. You read him every morning with hot reads. It is Brandon Vogel time at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, it's a football Saturday. What do you got going on your smoker or grill?
Did not break out the grill today. Went straight to the chili. Like
really?
Yeah, we're kind of mid-September, so even though it doesn't feel like fall, I was like, well, it's close enough. We can go there. So that's what we went with.
Okay, now when you say chili, all right, I'm not trying to brag here.
Kranak's a winner of O Street Chili Competitions.
I'm on the O'Rourke's Chalice over there. I'm engraved. I won that. I've won three chili contests in my life. But there are different types of chili. You got the chicken chili. You got the traditional red, which basically kind of looks like dog food, right? Like it's just little steak bits in the red sauce. And then you have more of, I guess, the southwestern, midwest, I don't know what you'd call it, but the beef and bean. What kind of chili you got working?
Well, I'm a Texas chili guy, which is basically like put some beef in some sauce and we're good.
Right. That's traditional red.
But my family, quote unquote, which basically means my wife, is like, no, there need to be beans in there. So I put some beans in. Did some really, really smoky bacon, which basically I sweated the onions in to get a little bit of smoke in there. So that's basically it. It's pretty basic. Like I fully admit I have not perfected like my signature chili recipe at this point, and I feel a little disappointed by that. But yeah, it's still a work in progress.
Let me just throw a couple hints out there. It's worth trying next time you cook it up, or depending on how big of a pot you got going. Don't be afraid to throw in some refried in there to thicken it up.
Really?
Right. Not the whole thing, but if you got your kidney or your black or whatever, that's fine. But throw in a little refried. That thickens it up, right? A little jalapeno juice from a jar doesn't hurt. And then probably the most surprising ingredient that I swear was in all of the three championship chilies, lemon pepper. As a seasoning, which is normally reserved for chicken and fish, but it gives it a little zest on top of that smoke.
Yep. You hear Vogue's reaching for the lemon pepper right now as glasses clink.
I really think that was the difference, is the refried, the lemon pepper, and then a little jalapeno juice. Throw it out there.
That makes sense.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. See you later, Brandon.
We'll move right, from chili to 7 o'clock kick in Husky. Nebraska and Northern Illinois tonight. Vogues, what are you expecting from Nebraska? Are you expecting more difficulty or a different Nebraska?
A little bit of both. Like, I think this will be this will be a tough game for Nebraska. This Northern Illinois line, which lost its two biggest playmakers, probably isn't going to be the sack threat that it once was, but they've really held up well against the run. This is not a game where I expect Nebraska to come out and just run it at will. Like, if this is a game where you think Nebraska's going to rush for 250 yards, I would be surprised if that's the case. That said, like, that kind of puts the focus on me for the pass game. And we know Nebraska's got some things to work on there. They gave up 6 sacks in the second half against Colorado. Adrian Martinez was great for 30 minutes. And then when he was getting pressure, he wasn't as most quarterbacks would be. So this is a, when I look at this from a Nebraska offensive perspective, it's a pass to set up the run game. And I think they can stay pretty comfortable that way, but you know, they've got to execute. That's still the thing that we're waiting on here from Nebraska's offense, is 60 consecutive minutes where they just look like, yep, this is Nebraska's best weapon, and they look like it. And we haven't seen that yet. So I think Northern Illinois presents a pretty good challenge on that front.
You know, despite the fact that Nebraska brought back so many skill players, you obviously lose Divine Azigbo, very productive player. You lose Stanley Morgan, very productive player. It really wasn't until, I guess you would say, Purdue, that you saw the offense start to click, and then Minnesota was just sort of like it overflowed. Do you think that's part of it, that they're just sort of finding their chemistry, finding their way, finding their Stanley Morgan, finding their Divine Azigbo, and that's just part of it right now, but that they will figure it out?
Yeah, it could be, and that's something I kind of spent this week thinking about. You know, we look at Divine Azigbo and be like, well, yeah, they don't have him, so obviously that's hurting them. But, like, he kind of didn't make his impact until the fourth or fifth game that Nebraska played last year. So that could be part of it. I mean, the run game is, and beyond just, like, being able to run the football is important in football in general. Like, I think it's essential to what this offense wants to do, and that includes running back, that includes quarterback runs, you know. So they haven't gotten there yet, but I do think there's at least a moment for pause there where you say, okay, well, maybe they're just, there's a little bit of a slow start factor here. Maybe they'll kind of figure it out. Like, the run game was better against Colorado, and when I look at this game tonight, I'm like, okay, that's something you can build on. If they get better in that regard each game, there's still a chance, maybe even a good chance, that this Nebraska offense kind of looks like what everyone thought it would be. Long term, you're going to have to figure that out. You can't come out of the gate game one and be like, well, it takes us 4 games to get that running game up and running. But at this early stage, okay, like, if that happens for Nebraska, that's a great sign based on where everybody's at coming out of the loss to Colorado.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com, Hail Varsity Magazine, at Brandon L. Vogel, Nebraska, Northern Illinois tonight. I love this matchup. Like, week three after a big game, and, you know, it being Colorado, there's a lot of deflation around the Nebraska fan base. There's some angst. There's some frustration. And you want it now. You want it soon. And it's just going to take a little while. And I love Mike Babcock's story on the easy look to that first rebuild that isn't the case. And there's still some demons Nebraska's fighting through. Part of it's confidence, a lot of it's experience. And then that third spur, so to speak, is the hype and really having to deal with it. And Vogues, I mean, you've got a lot of guys on this team that maybe have come from winning programs in high school, but they've not done it on the college level. They've done some good things, but they haven't arrived at all. And I think some guys are feeling that squeeze, their own expectations more so than the fan base. But you kind of got to hurry up and wait here. And tonight's a chance to really grind through something.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it's a cliche to say that, oh, you've got to learn how to win. But that was really the feeling for me, kind of watching Nebraska and how that Colorado game unfolded. It's hard to know the sort of complete effort that it takes to, like, stomp on a team and keep your foot on their neck for 60 minutes. It is. Like, Nebraska hasn't been in that position a lot. So, you know, all of the strength and conditioning, all of the culture gains that they've made, which I think are real things, like, learning how to put a team away, how to just dominate them and beat them completely is a separate thing. And I don't know that Nebraska's there. You know, they've been in, I think, 7 games since Frost was hired, that going into the fourth quarter, it was a 10-point game. They're 2-5 in those games. So those are games that you can look at where you're just like, okay, either you're going to go win this game or you're going to go lose this game. And that's a little bit oversimplified, because obviously you have an opponent who's trying to win and do some things as well. But really, I look at it that way, where it's like, okay, go win this thing or go lose this thing. And they've lost it 5 out of 7 times. And that says to me that there's still some room to grow here. They've got to learn how to do that. They've got to learn how to handle whether it's success. Coming back from 10 down is a little bit easier, but that's where they are. And if you look at those 7 games and say, okay, well, if you just split those half and half, so Nebraska wins 3.5 of those, okay, so call it 4, call it 3, like, that changes the perception of where this Nebraska team is at pretty significantly.
You know, it is such a good point, because that is where, when I walked out of Boulder, of course you're disappointed, you know, in the final score. But I feel like walking out of there physically, you don't have an issue. You know, like, you go back to Ohio State, Nebraska, 2017. Nebraska was outclassed in every possible facet of football in that game. Mm-hmm. Now, it really is mental. Nebraska, watching that, didn't you feel like if those teams played 10 times, Nebraska's a better team than Colorado? Like, they just are, right? But there's something missing mentally right now more than absolutely anything else.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, you run that flea flicker play, which has gotten a lot of attention. And credit to Colorado for calling it. Like, that's a big time play call, and they executed it, and it flipped that game. But what's the expectation for success on that play? Certainly less than 50%, maybe less than 25%. You know, yeah. So. And if that changes, like, if Nebraska, like, even if they give up a touchdown on that drive, if they just make Colorado drive the field instead of letting them go 95 yards in one play, it changes everything. And that's really the takeaway from me from Colorado is Nebraska is not that program yet where they know that and it's not like anybody wanted to give up that play, but where they're like, okay, this absolutely is not happening. Like, if they're going to score here, they're going to earn it, and they're going to go 95 yards, and they're going to convert, you know, some tough third downs. And if they do, tip your cap to them. Nebraska's still the program. I was like, well, we had to put Cam Taylor-Britton there because Lamar Jackson was dealing with the thing, and they just caught us in the right play call at the right time, and it was a touchdown, and it flipped the game. Like, Nebraska's not the program yet where it can say with confidence, like, nope, if they get a touchdown on this drive, they're going to have earned it. And I think that's a pretty significant difference for Nebraska going forward. And I think they can still be that team in 2019. One game setting against Colorado, they weren't.
Vogues, what's coming up today with Hail Varsity?
Yeah, we'll have full game coverage. We're getting ready. Our September issue goes to press to tomorrow night. So a lot of good stuff coming up there. It's our second annual food issue. So pretty excited for that. There's some fun stuff in there.
plenty of coverage of Nebraska football, Nebraska recruiting, Nebraska volleyball, but kind of through that spectrum to kind of take it back to the lemon pepper discussion we were having previously. Hopefully there'll be some things in there that people can use. So,
a lot of good folks, you're awesome. Thank you so much for jumping on, bud.
All right, thank you.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, the food issue coming out, Hail Varsity Magazine.
Oh, yeah, man.
A quick timeout. We're in the rail yard getting things rolling here with the weekend edition tailgating, getting you going here in the rail yard of the Hail Varsity offices. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Winding down the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, and Colton Stone. Good stuff from Brandon Vogel. We got about 4 minutes, and then it's time to get your freak on for Nebraska Northern Illinois.
I know, man. Hey, Penn State just pulled ahead of Pittsburgh in the third, 17-10. Close one there. Indiana is not going to cover the spread. They were 16.5-point dogs. They're down 51-10 to Ohio State. And look out, now Ohio State watch, because that's coming in a couple weeks.
It is. We'll
and that's back. A Seminole, that's a big one, man. That's read out around the world style. Like, that could change the fortunes of this team. They are running wild. J.K. Dobbins has a 193 on 22 carries. Master Teague has, like, 93 yards on 8 or 9 carries. The run game is serious in Columbus.
Here's what happens today. Nebraska gets right. Nebraska able to...
You said this last week.
Well, but
you
they
said
were.
They dominate.
They did. I was right for a half.
Well, you were. Oh, no. You weren't talking about the full game.
No, I needed to compartmentalize. My fault. No, I think Nebraska gets Adrian in rhythm. I think it's a big Wandale day. And I think Mills is going to get better. And I think Sharpie nailed it with, you know, Mills needs to be better. The O-line needs to be better. And I think guys will come out with something to prove. And I don't think Nebraska is going to – we are big, strong Nebraska. I think they're going to kind of take what's available versus forcing. We're just going to run it up the middle on you to prove a point. I don't think it's a prove your point type day. Yeah. I think it's just go in, get some confidence. And I think Nebraska, they may even get down early.
They could.
They may even get down early, and then they may even have to hang on to a lead late.
You know, it should
be. But they need that type of adventure again to maybe finally kind of get over that hump. Now, the other side of it is you've had enough drama with one-score games.
Yeah.
Go drill somebody.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Just go drill somebody.
Look,
what's most beneficial for this team is a win any way you can get it.
Yeah, of course.
But what's going to be most constructive, I guess, is the best question.
Well, a big win would be huge, and the environment I expect to be really outstanding tonight. It's the first night game
since
Ohio State came in and just humiliated.
It's been 2 years.
The entire program. Yeah, 2017 Ohio State last night game at Memorial Stadium would have been Akron last year, but of course the lightning storm. So I expect the atmosphere.
We refer that Ohio State game as the ball gag game.
All right, that was just. Katie Barr, I mean, whatever. Yeah. Just start the hit reset. Like, that was my goodness. Think about it's good. It's interesting to bring that up. Think about how that team performed in that game.
How timid they were.
Fast forward less than 2 years later. Frost is doing some good things, man. I know it was frustrating last weekend, but you think about how far they've come since then. It's an entirely different program, despite the fact that the results haven't quite been there yet. But you cannot, I mean, if you just watched those two teams like split screen, right? 2017 Nebraska against Ohio State versus what you see now, it's an entirely different program.
Kranach, you're awesome. Good to get it going here.
You as well,
back
sir.
At 7 a.m. for Papa Smurf and the Illini next Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget Alabama coming up against South Carolina. And then Real Red Reaction. Come on down to the rail yard. Get your party on with Hail Varsity. And Alpha Lincoln. Colton, you're awesome. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Colton.
Talk to you Monday at 4 on Hail Varsity.